Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how to if your love comes on your own. You can never surrender, and if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to the 28th episode of the Never Give Up Show. This is Bailey Smith, your host. I am so privileged to have the guests we have on this evening, as I am to have every single guest I ever had before or will have. I appreciate this guest because she's calling from overseas, New Zealand, actually. So we are in different time zones. So I appreciate her being our guest tonight. Again, I'm Bailey Smith, your host. Our phone number to call in is 516-531-9643, 516-531. And we'd love to hear from you. Our show is live right now on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk. It'll also be uploaded to SoundCloud this evening. And I'm going to introduce our guest. Her name is Isabel Hunsinger, Dr. Isabel Hunsinger. She's a Cuban-American born in 1959 in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't tell everyone my birth year, but because you've decided to read this, I thought it would be best that you get to know who I am from the beginning. I have been a doctor since 1991. The only reason I went into the medical field was because I wanted to help people. I wanted to get to the root of the disease, not just throw a Band-Aid on it. My patients weren't getting any better. They were just existing. My goal is to see people healed. The decision to become a doctor was planted in my mind when I was just 5 years old. My uncle, Dr. Julio Perez, physiologist, has this amazing way about him. When he walked into the room, his smile, his positive attitude would light up the room. He would just make you feel happy, and you would start smiling. At 5 years of age, I decided and then said to my mom, I want to be a doctor like Tio Julio, Uncle Julio in Spanish. In 2000, my husband and our two young daughters moved to New Zealand to see what it's like to experience a different culture of the world. Yes, we had never been there or even knew where it was. What a crazy and life-changing decision for our family. After the first 20 years of being a medical doctor, in the last 10 years, I've been studying functional medicine, which focuses on the root cause of disease and its treatment. My husband, culinary nutrition expert chef Michael, and I created the brand of Doctor on a Mission, where we prevent and reverse disease and give hope. I'm so sorry. I'm messing this up. I have kids knocking on the door. I apologize. Our expertise is in Alzheimer's, dementia, cognitive decline, anxiety, depression, and diabetes. We have been doing telemedicine for the past 7 years with our online business of DoctorOnAMission.com, where we offer online courses and a one-on-one coaching. And so here we are together. Let's start walking together. And I'll share with you what works for me and can also work for you. And I want to give you hope. Amazing, amazing. We have amazing people in this world willing to up their lives and go to the other side of the world, literally, and help others. I'm so blessed and honored to have Dr. Isabel Hunsiger on my show this evening. I will bring her on. I hope you guys will call in and join our show, 516-531-9643. And welcome. Welcome to America.
You're so funny. Hello, Bailey. Great to be on your show. Never give up. Yes, never give up.
Never give up. Yep.
Never give up, no matter what is going on, no matter what storm you are in.
Yeah.
Just keep
walking. We all go through storms. I just had a storm in the last few days, and it wasn't any of my kids. So, life is tough. Life is very tough, but some of us are just resilient. We're like a spring. We keep bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, you know? I think God
yes,
put
absolutely.
It in us. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
I also like to say, you know, because I live down here in New Zealand, we've got a lot of palm trees. So I always say, just be like a tree in a storm. You know, you bend, you know, like palm trees, they bend all the way down to the bottom, but they don't break, and then they come back up. And so you always get stronger during a storm.
Yep. Yeah, true. And we have plenty of those. Well, thank God. It's been quiet. Thank God. Thank God. I don't want to change this.
Thank God. I was listening to your story on Vin's Story Share the other day and very impressed. I'm very proud of you, and I congratulate for the work that you've done on yourself and helping your children.
Thank you. What were you listening to?
It was Vin's Story Share.
Send me the link. I would love
You're all over the.
I'd love to know how
you're all over the place.
I don't even know. People might have shared stuff. I'd love to know where.
Sure.
It'd be nice to know.
I heard your story, and I wanted to say that my mom was married to my dad for 26 years, and daddy was a wild, angry Cuban alcoholic. And, you know, he was great outside of our front door, but, you know, inside, you know how that can go. And luckily, by the grace of God, mommy got the strength in 1970 to leave daddy and leave with three children and no money in the bank and just believe God that he was going to support her. And he did. And to this day, mommy's 96 years young, living independently.
Wow.
In her fifth floor condominium in Washington, D.C. And I say to mom, thank you so much for teaching me.
You give me
and
the
rest of your, it's what you did, you know, and she's really shown us you don't take abuse and you just rise up and move. And I wanted to also just like breathe life into you and hope into you about know that what you did, your children will be fine as long as they do the hard work, you know, the inner work. They will get healed.
Yeah.
It just takes time. It just takes time. I
know.
And I know that must be so hard for you as a mom to see your children, you know, with the aftermath of what they saw and went through, which I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's very hard. And one of them actually went to live with him last year this time. And he won't talk to me, so it's very, very hard. You know, they get turned against you so easily. It's so, and I put my life into him for 5 years, every help you could think of. But you know what, like everybody says, you know, when the time, I feel like, you know what I tell myself? Where he's living, he has many opportunities. And I think that his father is being like the, I'm trying to think of the word in English. I know Yiddish, so I'm thinking of it in Yiddish. The the middle person, kind of like the messenger for my son to be where he is right now. And there'll be an epiphany. That's what I tell myself every day. So that's, I pray. And the other two are here getting help and doing their thing. And it's very difficult. We, you know, these things destroy you. I mean, I just, right before, I hope this guy doesn't mind, but I have to read you. This is why I do this, for messages like this. This guy said to me, "We were taught that God is good. Why did he create narcissists?" I read your posts and everything, and they're amazing, you know. And I said, that's something you have to ask your spiritual leader, because I ask myself the question every single day. And then he wrote, "You are an inspiration, truly, and your inner strength is beyond limits." And when I get messages like this, I know this person. He spent time in my home on holidays, so he knew my kid's father. When I get messages like that, it just, you know, it just keeps me going, because I'm helping someone.
Yes.
And you know what that's like. You move to the other side of the world and you're still there. So.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And prayer is so important. Prayer is so important. The prayer of a mother, it says in the Bible, the prayer of a mother is stronger than any other prayer.
Yep.
Because God knows our heart. So just know that your prayer over your son that went to go live with your father, it will work.
With
Mommy
his father.
Prayed for me, because I was in, in the wilderness for a long time. And Mommy prayed for me. And it wasn't until I was 45 years old that I surrendered back to God and said, "I can't do this by myself."
Yep.
So
I hope it doesn't
your prayers
take him
are
that
strong.
Long.
I hope not either. It can be pretty rough and messy.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what, I know I read a lot, but in your own, you know, we're a family here, you know. The people that are listening, the people that may call in. We have one caller, one of my fans, and I'm one of her biggest fans. You know, once you join, you know, once you become part of our family, you'll get asked to be on more podcasts, and, you know, we're just a huge support system. And I started out on LinkedIn, actually. You know, I was advocating for my son. I was through the insurance. And I was advocating.
I sent her a message.
What broke? What happened?
No, break. I can't hear her.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. I don't know. That was so strange.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to let you talk.
Okay.
I think that was the
message. All right, great. I did want to hear what you said, that we're all podcasts. We're a podcast family just sharing, right?
So I was saying, it's not even that. It's like once you come on to one of our shows or become, you know, now that you're on my Facebook, you'll start, you know, people will make comments on the show and you're part of our family now. You'll get tagged in other shows and stuff like that. And, you know, I know you're a different time zone, but I was saying how I started with all of this was my son needed to be in a facility to get help. And I was fighting the insurance company. I was tagging all the people, big people of the insurance company that I represent. And, you know, people saw me advocating and, you know, talk about my son and everything. And then somebody asked me to be on a podcast that she was part of. And I ended up being volunteering and doing their social media for a long time. And then I became a host on there. And then this opportunity to start my own. So, you know, when you go out there, you never know who you're going to reach in whatever way, shape, or form. That's how you found me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, huh?
That's what we're all about. We're all about using our voices for change in whatever way, you know. That's why I called the show, you know, Never Give Up, but it's about abuse and beyond. Not necessarily does it have to be about abuse, but it's also moving forward. And, you know, I've had all different kinds of people and all different kinds of topics and stuff like that. I try not to stick to one specific topic because there's so many voices out there to be heard. And we all have, everybody has what to offer. And if we reach, I always, in every single show I do, I say if I reach one person or my guest reaches one person, then we did our job.
Yes.
And that's how I view it. So I'd like to give the mic over to you.
Yes, yes.
Talk us a little bit and then okay. We'll bring our guest on, our caller on.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Well,
because I could
just,
talk all,
I'll tell
all night.
You, yes, I'd love to talk to you all night. You sound amazing. I'd love, you're my kind of people. We could just talk.
We'll have to say that for another night.
Yeah, we'll do that another time. Well, I'll just start my story in 2013. I turned a wife, a mother, and a brand new entrepreneur starting DoctorOnAMission.com because God spoke to my husband and I and just said, I mean, you know, not in words, but just in emotion, you know, that soft whisper that you feel in your soul, like, oh, God, really, are you sure? And he said, yes, go ahead and start Doctor on a Mission. So I gave away private practice as conventional medicine. And look, that was our bread and butter. That's how we paid bills. And I was like, really,
right?
God, how are we going to pay bills? Because we've got two kids. We don't have, you know, we don't have anything in savings. You know, it's just, it's very expensive living here in New Zealand, by the way. So I was so obedient. And I would do a little bit of locuming work. You know, locum is just filling in for doctors as God would provide. And then my husband and I, you know, worked on Doctor on a Mission. In 2014, I was 53, and I went into such a deep spiral of anxiety, hopelessness. I had no peace. I worried all the time. And I went through 17 nights of only sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night for 17 nights. And if there's anybody out there thinking that it's okay to sleep 3 hours a night because you're just getting older and that's just the way it is, that is not the way it should be. And by the end of that time, I tried to take my life twice in 3 days. And by the grace of God, that plan was interrupted by my daughter walking into the garage. And my husband took me to my pastor, and they prayed over me, and we talked, and my husband then took me to the psychiatrist. And as a psychiatrist, you know, going to a psychiatrist, as a medical doctor, going to a psychiatrist, that is so taboo. I mean, you've got to have lost your mind if you went to the psychiatrist. And I was so afraid of losing my medical practice, my medical license to practice medicine. But I went ahead, you know, I saw the psychiatrist. I totally surrendered into what he wanted me to do. I begged him to make me sleep because I really wanted to sleep. He put me to sleep for 2 weeks. I woke up. I was on antidepressants. And he said, Isabel, you need to be on this for the rest of your life. And look, at that point, Bailey, I did whatever anybody told me to do because I just wanted to be better. But deep down in my heart, I said, yeah, we'll see about that. Because I knew that I knew that there was another way. Another way that's not being taught in conventional medicine, because I was a medical doctor doing the same thing the psychiatrist is doing. It's just handing out medication and saying, you need to go to, you know, counseling and and all that stuff. And so, gosh, God is so good. I love God so much. I just got super glued to God's chest. Literally, I'm serious. I just was like, God, you really got to help me because I am so scared. And I went on a 5-year journey with God, and I made a lot of mistakes. They were ugly. They were messy. I spent a lot of money. But now I'm on to the other side, and I've learned the areas that we need to take care of in our foundation. We got cracks in our foundation to help overcome anxiety and depression. And they're not being really addressed in medicine. And that's why I'm so glad I went through the experience. But I'll tell you, I wasn't glad during the storm, right? You know, you're not happy during the storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God gives us a lot of peace during the storm. And you really get to know the love of God during the storm.
Yeah.
But now I'm on to the other side, and I'm off my antidepressants. And look, I'm not against medication. There is a place for medication. I'm a medical doctor trained in conventional medicine. There's a place for medication, but it's not the answer to taking care of the cracks in the foundation. And so now that's why I've gone live with this over the last year, because there's so many people suffering quietly, and they don't need to. And one of the things I've learned in my 5-year journey, which is so cool, is realizing that your brain is just another organ. And we need to look at our brain like we look at our heart, like we look at our kidneys. We got to take good care of our brain and take care of our good brain health so that we've got great mental health. Because if we think well, you know, if we're thinking well and we're taking good care of ourselves, then our lives will be better. We'll be able to deal with storms. We'll be able to deal with financial problems. We'll be able to deal with when the boss screams and yells at you. We'll be able to deal with anything that happens because our brain health is good. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And luckily, I was blessed to have my husband walk alongside me. We've been together for 41 years. And
they're all really good.
I know, and I just wanted to say a little prayer over you, if I could. If I may.
Yes. Yes.
God, thank you so much for working on a man for Bailey and connecting them when the time is right. Because, God, we know that you know when, and that she never loses hope, and that she gets healed from whatever happened in their past, because I know, God, you don't want her living in her past. You want her to grow from the past and move forward and to let go of the past.
Amen.
So that she can unite with a man and know the love of a man. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Thank you.
I don't normally do this, Bailey, but because you believe in God, it's easy.
Well, most of us do, because if you don't believe in something, in a higher power, there's no way to get through this. There's no way.
I agree.
You have to have support. You have to have good friends. You have to have good family. You have to have people, good people around you helping you, being there for you. The best is when you meet people that are walking in your shoes alongside you, that have been there, done that, or are going through it. Otherwise, you can't get through it. There's no way. There's no way. It's impossible. I would like to just bring on one of my biggest fans, and I'm one of her biggest fans, Marianne. Bring her on.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Bailey.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Marianne.
How are you?
Good. Great.
It's good to hear you pray. That was nice.
Yeah, well, it's easy with Bailey. You know, not too many people talk about God on their podcast, so why not?
Right.
Well, so many of us have, like I said, have been through some really tough stuff, so...
Without God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask. I want to ask you, Marianne and Bailey, how do you relay that to people? How do you let people know that God loves you and He wants to have a personal relationship with you? And because there's so many people that have been so hurt and they don't believe in God, like how do you bring that into their lives?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I really don't
know.
From
your own personal experience, maybe you can answer that.
Well, I try to approach these people very carefully because, you know, if you bring it up the wrong way, then they shut you out completely. So
yes.
You have to wait for the right time, the right, you know, the right moment. It's very hard when because people, like especially my kids have been turned to atheism by their father. And, I mean, this is a perfect example of how do you bring it up to them? Because if I bring up God, they just shake their heads and walk away. So
I know.
It's a little bit that I'll have to whittle away, I guess.
Yeah. And just pray for the kids, right?
Right, right. It's sad. I mean,
it's very hard when you raise your children with it for their entire life. I'm very blessed. Even my son that's not with me right now, and he's in his you know, early 20s, I believe is dating a Jewish girl, and we're Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm so happy because his dad married someone non-Jewish, which is not a problem. I mean, in our religion, it's a problem. But he remarried someone, and, you know, they believe in someone, not God. I mean, maybe they do believe in God. But the kids at home, I've been very consistent. So I'm very lucky. And I pray,
yes.
I pray every day that they continue to believe in higher power. Or in someone, you know, because that's the only way you can get through these things.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne, do you mind if I bring my very soon-to-be guest? And thank you to Marianne, but I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want our audience to get knowledge of another guest coming down the road. but I'm going to bring on an amazing guy. I was lucky enough to speak with him, and I just got his book. I hope you hear me. I just got your book yesterday. I'm going to be reading it this week. Cordell Ellis, an amazing man.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. How are y'all doing?
Great.
And let me share something with each and every one of you. Notice that the word of God says in Revelation 12 and 11, you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You bring others to God by sharing your story with others of what God has done specifically in your life and for you. You speak through God through your experiences, what God has brought you through, what he has brought you from, and what he has brought you out of. That's what you share to others. And that way others are able to relate to whatever you're going through.
Mm. Yes.
That's true.
Very good.
Not what I heard about, what I know for a fact. That's why he wrote a book.
Yes.
Right.
I was able to realize from writing the book how God had been with me throughout my whole life, and I never recognized it. I thought I was doing it, but I really wasn't doing it because we don't possess the power. The power dwells in us, but we have to be plugged in to the power source. There's a difference.
Yes.
And a lot of
yes.
people don't realize that unless you've had a true and sincere experience with God, and I've been there on more than one occasion.
Don't give yourself away, okay?
I won't.
You're going to have 2 hours of your own time coming up very soon.
Oh, well, I was just about to ask, tell me, let's talk about what you went through.
No, you'll have to call in when he's on. I'll tag you.
Okay.
I'll give you notice. Right. And Marianne knows already because she's had him as a guest, and she said to me, you must have this guy on your show. She throws me people my way all the time. And I'm going to throw you, Dr. Isabel, her way, because she has her own podcast and book and God willing movie and all kinds of great things. And she's an incredible woman. And we can all be, and she could be on your podcast, and we can all be on each other's podcast and share each other. We could just share and share and share because there's so much to share and
yes.
So many people out there to listen. So
yes.
I'm going to put Cradell and Marianne back on hold unless you guys have one
okay.
more quick question because I'd like our guests to really talk a little bit because I think we've been taking over
right.
the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to share how you I just wanted to share when the question was asked, how do you bring other people to God? And that's all I wanted to share, is that you have to share your own experiences, that to be a witness and that to testify what God has done in your life. Just share it with others.
Yes, and I really appreciate you saying that because my two daughters, my two daughters are 25 and 27 right now, living in Australia, and I know that my prayers and my husband's prayer is covering them. However, I always let my youngest daughter know that, because it was her that interrupted the plan. It was her that went into the garage. And I let her know, I'm so grateful that God used you, and we've talked about it, but she doesn't want to talk about it too much. And that's okay because there's a time and place, but she knows that God has used her because I have let her know. And my oldest daughter was in Southeast Asia at the time, so she couldn't. But we've had conversations, and they know that God has his hand all over this. So thank you for that, because it is our testimony is what helps people go, wow, that's amazing. Because look, to be honest with you, not everybody survives suicide attempts, right?
Right.
Right.
And I cannot explain it because I'm not God, but some do. And I was one of them, and I was planted in the church. And, why did somebody like me who believes in God still have this experience? And that's one of the things that I'll talk about, is that it's not because I wasn't close to God. There was a lot of other stuff, and I want people to know that just because you're in church doesn't mean that this stuff can't happen to you, because it can, and it does. The devil is after all of us. That's what I just wanted to thank you for bringing that up, because it's so important.
Well, we're going to get back to Cradell shortly. Don't hang up. We'd love for you to stay on.
I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm in tune.
I'm gonna mute you. Marianne, did you have any other things you wanted to say?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, we'll get back to you soon. I want to welcome my youngest child. He's listening to the show. So my little boy, Joey Joseph, who's 17 and a half, he was actually my first guest. If you can find my shows on SoundCloud, Never Give Up, or on this link, but you have to scroll down to find them. It was the show was called, and he asked to be on. I didn't encourage it, and I spoke to his therapist, and he was all for it. It was called Domestic Violence Through the Eyes of a Child. So he went back in time.
Gosh.
He went back in time and was talking about, and I actually helped him with the script. He had written notes, and I helped him with the script, and he didn't even follow it. He just talked how he thought from his heart. exactly what it was like for him, because he was very young when it all started. So he just sent me a text. I'm listening, Mom. So, yeah, my kids are very supportive
beautiful.
Of the show. Yes.
That's
so let's
beautiful.
Go back. Let's go back to you.
Okay. Okay. What would you like to know?
Well, I could take over the show and ask you a gazillion questions. I want you to talk about what it was like, because I have a sibling living in Australia, so I've mm-hmm. passed over New Zealand, the equator, right? So you pass when you fly.
Yeah.
So I flew over New Zealand into Australia when he got married. We all went. We're five kids and my parents. And I literally spent more time traveling than I was there. And it's a different world, literally. You feel it as you go over the equator. I mean, you're just going to a different world. And, you know, you lived in Washington, D.C. My grandparents, my mom grew up in Maryland, so I'm familiar. I mean, it's a whole new world. So you picked up and moved, and you went through this rough time in the beginning of this? Or was it before?
Well, this happened later on. This is happening, the second part of it. We've been here for 20 years. So in 2000,
okay.
In okay. America, I was practicing medicine in Colorado.
Right.
So I'll backtrack
okay.
a little bit. So I was practicing as a family practice doctor in Colorado, in Battlement Mesa, Colorado, and over close to Grand Junction, over on the other side of the Rockies. And I was so unhappy practicing medicine. It was just not what I wanted to be doing. I did not feel like I was helping people. It was basically, I was practicing, it wasn't health care, it was disease management. It wasn't health care,
mm-hmm.
it was disease management, where all I was taking care of is giving people pills or sending them to a specialist, and people weren't getting healed. And that's like, I knew that just wasn't the way to be living life. And I remember one night, it was snowing in February in 1999, and I said to my husband, no, I think it was 2000. Yeah, it was 2000, February 2000, and it was snowing, and my husband and I were having a beautiful glass of red wine. Yes, I do drink some red wine sometimes. And we were talking, and I said, babe, I am so unhappy practicing medicine, and I've been trained as a medical doctor in America. I can go anywhere to go help the world, you know? And so we got the globe out, and we spun the globe, and it landed in the UK, and my husband was like, no, it rains too much there. And then we spun the globe again, and it landed in Africa, and my husband said, nah, I can't speak the language, and I go, I can't either. And then it landed in New Zealand the third time, and we felt that was the sign, because we'd always skied with the Kiwis. The Kiwis is what we call New Zealanders in America, the Kiwis. And I remember when I was in Colorado doing my medical training, I'd always, on the weekends, my husband and I would go and ski, like in Loveland and on that side close to Denver. And we'd go skiing and in the powder, and we'd be skiing with these Kiwis, and I'd love their accent. And I said, where are you from? And they said, we're from New Zealand. And I loved their accent. I said,
oh, wow.
Where is that? And I said, someday I'm going to move there and we're going to live there. And look at this. In 2000,
wow.
in December 2000, we moved to New Zealand in hopes of practicing medicine a different way, you know, because in
right.
New Zealand, and still in New Zealand, everybody gets health care. But I
right.
do want to say that unfortunately, in the last 10 years, it's become much like America, where it's not healthcare, it's disease management. And hence, in 2010, I went ahead and started just deep diving into functional medicine. Are you familiar with functional medicine?
Not really. Maybe once you talk about
functional
it.
Functional medicine? Yeah. Functional medicine, you know, it's also known as integrative medicine, where we get to the root cause, the causes of people's unwellness, not just giving them pills, but figuring out, you know, what weed is growing in your garden that's suffocating your life. So you go ahead and learn what weed it is, and I'll talk about the 14 weeds. Well, I won't talk about all the 14 weeds. I'll talk about six of the weeds, and people can follow me to learn the other weeds. It's weeds that you pull out, and then once you pull out the weeds, well, what happens? The garden grows. And so that's what functional medicine is. And I see functional medicine as definitely the way that medicine's going to be in the future. But it just takes time to turn the Titanic 180 degrees. And so that is my prayer and my hope in medicine. So then in 2010, I learned, yeah?
No, go on. I'm curious to know, like, what are the methods that you use? Like, is it the EMDR kind of stuff?
Oh, no, there's a whole, I'll talk about that.
Okay.
So on my journey, when I suffered with anxiety and depression in 2013, I was like, okay, in 2014, I'm going to figure this out. I know that I can figure this out. And because I'd been trained in functional medicine, I just started learning. And I've learned that there's actually 14 areas, and I don't want to overwhelm people, but there are 14 areas that a doctor needs to look at to help people overcome anxiety and depression. And not everybody has 14 areas to repair. You know, some people just need two or three. Some people need three or four. And that's what I have learned from my journey, and I'm so grateful from it. And also realizing that your brain, we need to look at our brain as brain health and not just, you know, that you're just sick in the head and either lock you up and put you away in a mental institute or go into counseling for the rest of your life. There's actually a lot of things that we can do. And the first thing, the first foundation is nutrition.
Yeah.
I mean, it is war out there with nutrition. The kids are being promoted energy drinks by sports figures.
I'm so glad my son is listening to this. Joey, listen to this.
Thank you. Zoe, please listen to this. It'll help you. It'll save you a lot of stress. But like the TV commercials are filled with wrong messages to the youth. And the youth are so influenced by all this stuff. And I'll give you an example. I had a patient come and see me on telemedicine, and she was, her doctor said that her heart rate was too high, and he did everything right, checking her heart with an ECG, making sure that there was nothing abnormal that needed to be addressed. And he made sure, and he did a good job of that. And then when I started working with her, I just asked her the simple question, do you drink energy drinks? And she said, well, yeah. And I go, you do? And I go, how much water do you drink in a day? And she goes, maybe a glass. I'm like, oh, my gosh. If you – and when I do telemedicine, it's video conferencing, so they see my face. And I'm like, oh, honey, if you're a sunflower and you haven't watered this sunflower, it looks like this. And I'm looking over like a wilted sunflower. And I go, and when you water the sunflower, what happens? And she goes, well, it comes up and it's alive. And I go, exactly. And that's why you need water. So I helped her figure out the water consumption. But also energy drinks. I said, how much do you drink? And she goes, I drink a 500 milliliter of Mother, the Blue Mother. Do you guys know what mills are? No. It's like 16
we have
ounces.
Red Bull. We have Red Bull stuff here. We have all kinds of crap. And I actually took some that my son bought, not the Red Bull, but a different kind. And I took away from him, and he's like, you owe me money for that. It's like $20 for those four drinks. I'm like, too bad. I see the alteration in your mood. And as we talk, I'm drinking one, but it's not, it's called Celsius. It's not, and it doesn't have any of the junk in it. It just has a little caffeine. It's all natural. I don't buy any of that crap.
Oh,
I yell at them stuff because it's dangerous.
Yes. But you understand that they've been influenced by the sports, you know.
Yeah.
They've been influenced. TV
yeah.
is so influential. Yeah. It's war over our health. And so we've got to, like, train up the kids and train ourselves up. So anyway, a mother, a blue mother's got 12 or 13 teaspoons of sugar in it. And it's got two cups of coffee in it, caffeine-wise. So you can imagine, I asked my patient to stop drinking that. Anyway, and I changed a couple of things. And so her nutrition improved, and she got better, and she's not so anxious anymore. So nutrition is so key. And one of the things I educate people about is, you just tell me when to stop talking, okay, because I can talk a lot.
No, I have a kid. I'm dealing with depression and anxiety, and I'll tell you about the treatment I'm using with him right now. But and I just told him to please listen. He's like, I'm dizzy. But, you know, what you're saying, nutrition, like, you could take even if you take medication or you do other kinds of therapies and everything, nutrition and exercise are huge in helping your anxiety and depression and everything else in life. But go on, sorry.
Yes, huge. I, you know, thumbs up to you on saying that. And so I show people three plates, you know. Imagine me having three plates in front of you right now. And the first plate is the right macronutrients on your plate. And macronutrients are the right carbohydrates, the right fats, and the right sugars, the right oils. So the right carbohydrates, the right fats, and the right oil. When you have the right macronutrients on that plate, that leads to the next plate. And the next plate is balanced blood sugar. And if you have balanced blood sugar, you're not pinging all over the place, which will cause anxiety and mania and then slash down to depression when your blood sugars go down. And when you have balanced blood sugar, then you have balanced mood. That helps people so much. It's just getting that down. And that's why my husband, who was professionally trained by the French, he had to relearn all this stuff to become the nutritional chef here at Dr. On a Mission, because that's not what they taught, you know. And so nutrition is so key.
Absolutely.
It's so key.
Excellent.
And that's not being taught in medicine at all. And there's way too much, too high on carbohydrates. Can I ask you a question, Bale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you doing for how are you helping your child?
So my son has been since he's 2.5, he's 21, going to be 22 next week or 2 weeks. He has been on medication since he's 2.5. He has ADD and anxiety, and it's also now depression. He was not functioning. He had a job in New York. He was working. He was living on his own. He's been in Israel before COVID. I mean, was doing great. He had COVID. I think COVID enhanced the anxiety. He had it in the beginning, like in New York, where everybody had it pretty bad. And his anxiety just was out of control. And he kept coming home. He kept needing to need to reassure him. And he's had cancer. And so, you know, he's a horrible eater. Horrible. To this day, I mean, he just had pizza. You know, so what am I doing? So we're doing TMS, transmedial cranial something, TMS, and ketamine. Have you not heard of that?
And what?
Ketamine.
Oh, yeah, ketamine. Yes, how's that working?
The it's TMS. I'm going to tell you what it stands for. I have tried everything for this kid. Every medication. We actually just did a gene test for medication because he's going to have to be on medication. There's no question. But we want to find the right mix because even stuff we've tried, we've gone back to try, I had to put him into a facility so that they can just keep an eye on him with medication and group therapy. And I've tried everything. He's doing amazing therapy right now. She's doing EMDR with him, all kinds of therapy, because he's never wanted to deal with anything like your daughter. He was a witness to certain things, and he's had cancer. He doesn't want to deal with anything. He just wants to go out of the country and travel and go to school and whatever. And but he's not functioning properly. I mean, 100 times a day, he needs to be near me, talk to me, make sure he's okay. I have to swear in my life, I'm okay. I actually had a doctor on the show from California, and he actually left the place, but he worked for this center, and they do this TMS treatment, transcranial magnetic stim, and they do it on the depression side of your head or the anxiety side. And then they start the ketamine like a week or two in. For him, they started it three weeks in. And they told me yesterday that they really want to start the anxiety side, because that you pay out of pocket for, because the insurance doesn't pay. So I said, fine, let's do a few sessions of that, because he's still not. It seems like it's helping somewhat, but he's not doing his part when it comes to exercise and nutrition.
Yeah.
In my house.
Yeah, you gotta have buy-in. You definitely have to have buy-in.
Yeah, and I'm giving him vitamins. I'm giving him everything you could think of. One other thing which is very interesting, and I think this is good for our audience to know, is that there are medications out there that don't mix well with others, and the symptoms are anxiety, depression, moods, nausea. A lot of his side effects, and we figured out in one of his trips to the hospital, because he'll go 100 times to the emergency room, recently we realized that his levothyroxine, which takes care of his thyroid, because he doesn't have one, he's not supposed to take with anything else. And for years he's been taking it with other stuff. And all those side effects are anxiety and all the symptoms that he has. So it's been a lot better in the last month since we figured this out, because I get up early, I go into his bed, I give him his levothyroxine, and then 2 to 4 hours later, he takes his vitamins and his other medication, and that has helped a lot. But because his brain is so negative and thinks, so is still in that mind frame of negative thinking, we have to transfer that, we have to transfer that over. So that's what the therapy is helping him. But it's also he has to put in the work. He's got to have self-talk, self-positive talk. So I'm constantly redirecting him. And it's frustrating. But remember, this is from trauma. This is all from trauma. This is what trauma does to people. We're not born like this. You know, we're not born unhealthy eating or with anxiety or depression. These things happen for reasons. Like whatever happened to you, whatever put you into that dark place, something triggered it. So, you know, I'm hoping, because he has a plan and he wants to go back to Israel, and he was happy there, and he has a plan to go back very soon. And I'm like, you got to start doing the nutrition part and the exercise part, because in my house, me and my 17-year-old is extreme. And I've had image issues my entire life. And I finally got healthy. And also with over-exercising, I finally got to a healthy place. 46 years it took me. And, you know, where I'm forcing myself to eat 3 times a day and got rid of carbs, healthy oils, I'm using avocado oil, you know, all the healthy stuff, and, you know, drinking my 6 to 7 cup, what is it, ounces, 8 ounces of water a day? What is it? No, it's more than that.
Yeah, it depends on what your weight is. It's an ounce. It's an ounce for every pound. Whatever your pound is, then you just, you know, like
so
if you're 140 pounds, then you need 140 ounces of water a day.
So this is 16.9, which is like 2 cups, and I'm supposed to be drinking 6 of these a day.
Okay.
That's what they say. Well, when I was working out like a maniac, not because of my weight. You know, it's a struggle to get all that water in. But
I know.
But I don't drink unhealthy stuff. I stopped drinking alcohol during the week, you know, like but it's changed me. But I also have my healthy outlet, which is also how I get through, besides God, how I get through my challenges every single day. You know, the first thing I do every day is get up and go work out. My youngest is actually exhausted tonight. He didn't even go to jiu-jitsu because his body is just, like, so drained from all his working out. But he doesn't eat right. He doesn't eat enough proper food. He's not eating unhealthy. He's just not eating enough protein, enough balance. So I'm fighting with him on that. But so yeah, I understand everything you're saying. It makes a very big difference. Everything has to be balanced.
Yeah,
it all has to be
and
balanced.
You know, if I may make a recommendation, here's what I propose if you approve, is just asking your son. His name is Zoe.
My little one's Joey, but the anxiety and depression is Ari.
Ari, you know, asking Ari, what do you want? You know, what casting vision, what do you want? And then having him write down what he wants and then asking him, how are you going to get there? How do you see yourself getting there? And then let them answer the question, you know, instead of, because you and I as moms, we're like, blah, 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 blah. They'll hear us after a while. But,
no,
you know, you
no,
can say maybe.
Because
like,
I talked to him about this every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I redirect him. How are we going to get to where you want? And it redirects him because he's not a big writer. So for him to write things, we talk it out. I say to him, don't you want to leave soon? How are we going to get to that place?
Yeah.
I can't send you away like this. So he's like, I know.
Okay,
I know.
Good.
You know,
So I know, it's a journey. It's such a journey.
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's such
I
a journey.
To hear about
the next one is exactly what you were touching on with Ari is adverse childhood experiences. Adverse childhood experiences. Now look, I never knew about this in my medical training. Nobody had ever taught me about this, but I learned it on my 5-year journey as we do. And, you know, I encourage everybody to just Google adverse childhood experiences, and then you can get your score. You can get a score and know what your score is. And when I did my score, and it was greater than 4, and they said that anything greater than 4 increases your risk of suicide by 1,200%. I was like, wow. I was blown away that my past. You know, because look, I have forgiven my dad. I have done everything God's told me to do is forgive. However, your brain does not forget. Your memory, your limbic system, there's a part in your limbic system called the amygdala that's got emotion. And there's another part of your limbic system, which is in the back of your brain, called the hippocampus. And that hippocampus has a good memory. It's like an elephant. It does not forget. And it's got nice, deep train tracks in there. So I had to learn how to shift my course. I mean, I had to learn how to – I took this course online, which I think is like the EMDR, but I didn't do EMDR. I did the DNRS by Annie Hopper, Dynamic Neuro Retraining System. And that helped me over a 6-month period. It took time. I didn't do it in a day or two. It took me 6 months of doing what she said to do every day for an hour. And now I know that when I start thinking, you know,
negative
the wrong thought, I just go stop, stop, stop. My mind is stuck in a rut. In the past, mm-hmm. I would think this, but now I know. And then there's movements, you know, that you do. And I had to really wake up to the fact, like, the first time fear ever came into my life, because I was always wondering, why am I so anxious all the time?
Right.
Well, it's because I remember Daddy, when I was 9 years old, Daddy got a shotgun in Washington, D.C., and this was, like, close to the end when Mommy was, like, showing him signs, like, I've had enough, kind of like you, you know, like, I've had enough, I'm not putting up with this. And Daddy was starting to get scared, like, holy moly, she's leaving. Now, you know, she's meaning business. So then Daddy got a rifle, kept it loaded, kept it upstairs in their bedroom with the
door
unlocked. And I know, and I remember being told by Dad, don't go in there, it's loaded. It was at that moment, like, this is from work. This is hard work that I had to deal with. This is my father, you know, that I thought he was supposed to protect me and love me, but he was sick. Daddy was sick. He was an alcoholic and sick. That was the first moment that I realized, yeah, that's when the first emotion of fear came into me. So that emotion was stuck in my hippocampus, my limbic system, that remembers everything, and my amygdala with the emotion. So those two are attached together. And then throughout my life, whenever I'd be afraid, I'd think that somebody was pointing a rifle at me, when in fact that was not the case. So what would I do, you know, not knowing this stuff? Well, I would overspend. I'd do anything to self-medicate. I would drink too many margaritas. I'd smoke too many cigarettes, you know, I would exercise too much, you know, everything to keep us numb. So I encourage everybody to do the hard work and find out
it's
what adverse childhood it's so worth it. Yeah, because now, you know, gosh, at 61, I'm like, okay, I'm a big girl now. I know that I'm not there and Daddy's dead and, you know, I'm safe. Yeah. But your memory kind of goes into that train track and you go, no, 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 that's not the train track we're going to be living in.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so that was one.
Give out or not?
Yeah.
Can you go on? Say, what were you going to say?
No, nothing else. That's it.
Okay. I'm just going to give out our number and I'm going to bring Cordell back on. Marianne had a crisis call. You know, she was a nurse for many, many years. So she would actually love all the stuff you're saying, but she had a crisis call. Our phone number, if you guys want to call in and join in with our amazing guest this evening, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. You're welcome to call in just to listen or call in to ask questions. I'm going to bring Cordell. I know he wanted me to say something, but I'm going to give him the opportunity to say it because I'm bringing him back on. Welcome back.
All right.
You wanted me to say something about experiencing certain things. I'm going to give you the opportunity to say it.
All right. Throughout life and throughout our journey, we ourselves experience certain things in life to help others overcome those challenges, obstacles, and hurdles. That's why we go through it.
Yes.
That's why God allowed your daughter come in that garage and save you. Because prior to that, whatever was going on within your mind that you felt you couldn't go any further, you have experienced that far, gone that far to actually help somebody else who's at the edge, right on the cliff, that you're able to share with them, there's always tomorrow. Remember, there's always tomorrow. That's where this podcast, Never Give Up, because I've been there. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm going through it now. But I know there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep. There's always tomorrow. Yeah.
And I have to, I wanted to add to what you were saying, you know, my mindset before this happened, you're absolutely spot on. My mindset is, it's up to me. It's in my flesh, my strength, that Doctor on a Mission is going to work. It's up to me. It's all my responsibility. However, by the grace of God, he showed me, no, sweetheart. It's not in your strength. It's in my strength. And that's what you're going to learn.
There you go.
Is it?
There you go.
Yeah.
That is it.
So you're absolutely.
That is it.
Yeah. That.
Well, we all a piece of God. So we all have a piece of God in us. So, you know, it's fact.
Right. We have to recognize. I mean, we only understand certain things when we are faced with adversity, when our back's up against the wall. That's when we recognize where the actual source of our strength comes from. The actual source. Like you was mentioning earlier, being functional and tapping into the root cause of certain problems and issues that affect people everyday lives, that cause the depression and anxiety. There's a root cause. And sometimes it's nutritional, sometimes it's being from a dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things that occur in our younger years that we aren't able to identify with that affect us later on in life.
That's true.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's not just one. Sometimes it's nutrition, our past, you know, our spirituality, our sleep, our hormones. I mean, it could be a combination, you know. And we
just need to realize,
I got some work to do.
Yep.
Exactly. But you got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And not just put a Band-Aid on. And when I say put a Band-Aid on it, for me, and I can only speak for me, my Band-Aid was drugs and alcohol. I tried to suppress it with that. But that gets old. It gets old.
Well,
yeah, because, once you come off of that.
Yeah, if you make it. If
exactly,
yeah,
if you make it. If you make it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
But don't talk anymore because we need your story for later.
But keep in mind, I keep adding to what she's saying. And my story totally
That's
different.
True.
I mean, hey.
My
story is totally different. Yeah. On a whole another level.
Cordell, I want to ask you, Cordell, where are you from?
I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
I love your accent.
Cold blooded.
And you know, it's amazing you've lived in New Zealand for so long and you still have, maybe it's because of the distance. I don't hear a difference in how you speak.
You're right. But our daughters have the Kiwi accent. So, hey, at least part of the family got that Kiwi accent.
Because my brother's living in Australia, I would say, 13 years maybe, something like that,
yeah.
maybe 14 years. And he picked up the accent.
How old was he when he went there?
Well, okay, so you want to do the math? So he was in his 20s.
Roughly how old was he?
He was in his 20s.
Oh, yeah. Well, the 20s. I was in my 40s. So, you know, stuff gets more cemented down. So, yeah, he probably picked it up a lot easier.
Big time.
I love the
big
Australian accent, too.
Oh, you have to, when I watch those kids, she puts them on Instagram. Oh, I love it. I love watching them.
I know.
They're so cute.
I know. Yeah. I know. They are adorable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the accent. I loved hanging out there. It was so much fun. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I said, on the other side of the world. So.
They're going through a tough patch right now.
Yes. They've had so much the lockdowns and the opening ups and the lockdowns. It's just insane. Like, you know, we're in I'm in South Florida. And we had we were back to normal pretty much. And then the mask mandate came back and you know, the new strain of the COVID came out here, which I had, and it was not so bad. I think being healthy makes a very big difference. I know people disagree with me, but I know all the people from my gym.
I agree with you.
Yeah, all the people from my gym that had it, even the other strain, older, younger, whatever, had it. They're all healthy, take care of themselves, work out, eat healthy. You know, whatever strain they had, they managed to get through it. So,
good.
You know, I believe that if you don't have a pre-existing condition and you are a healthy person and you take care of yourself, there's no reason you're going to end up in a hospital. How I feel, that's my personal opinion. I know I have plenty of people that disagree, and there are plenty of people that agree. And that's what I've seen. So,
yeah, taking care of the terrain is very important. Taking care of our terrain is key.
Well, it's key in every
aspect
terrain. Of our lives. Every aspect
I
of our life.
I know. Hey, I wanted to go ahead and touch base on another area of the foundation that needs to be repaired with our, you know, to help women, men, or children overcome anxiety and depression, and that's our sleep.
Yes. Yep.
Hey, you know, I've got people that are on their laptop until midnight. You know, I've got people that don't understand that they need to turn everything. Then you're kind of like, you are a radio station tower, and you're receiving
all those.
So your mom did not call me beforehand to do this. This is from my experience. And
I
and
wish
I,
my other
look,
one
I was
listening.
Wanted...
Go on.
Yeah, well, maybe someday. Maybe on someday on hashtag replay.
No, it's archived. I'll send him the SoundCloud version tonight, and I'll make sure he listens to it tomorrow. So.
Yeah, but look, I was one of those people. I would have my daughters were traveling around the world during this time. Well, one of them was, and in Southeast Asia, and I would leave my phone on all night long just in case if she needed me. Like, what am I gonna do at 3 o'clock in the morning? But and not turn off the router. So learning how to take care of your sleep as something that's so important for your brain, because when you sleep, it's kind of like the garbage is being taken out. Your brain is getting cleaned up. It's restorative. It helps heal your brain. When we sleep, our brain is allowing the cleanup. Because there's been a lot of dead stuff happening in our brain. And so then it's time to clean up. And so people, you know, I was always taught in medical training that, hey, I'm not a champion if I'm sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night. You know, in our medical training, we're taught to be able to stay up for 36 hours in the hospital on our shifts and maybe only get 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
No, it's not normal. Not normal.
No, it's not healthy. It's not healthy.
No.
And there's studies have shown...
If I don't get my sleep...
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
No, no, go on, go on. If you don't get your
no,
sleep,
you
what happens?
No, you go on. I'm a horrible person to be near. I'm a horrible person to be around.
Me too, and I can't think. And I get very anxious. You see?
I'm moody.
I get very...
I'm moody.
Huh?
I'm
moody,
very
yeah,
moody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I scream and I yell and I get nothing done.
Yeah.
I'm unproductive.
Yeah.
We need a eight. I like to have 8 hours. But I'm very bad with the phone, too, because I do a lot of my posting, and you'll see, you may decide I can't handle her stuff. I'm always posting because I advocate, and, you know, but I don't have to be on my phone half an hour before bed. And if I am... and I stay up later than normal, I have a hard time falling asleep. And I take medication to sleep. So
mm-hmm.
because if you don't let that brain rest before you go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't, even with medication, that won't shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I take something.
Absolutely.
My brain doesn't shut off. And then the first thing in the morning, I'm doing my reposting from my memories from last year that pop up. I'm reposting mm-hmm. them. You know, it's like the first mm-hmm. thing I do when I get up. And it's like, you know, but then when I'm busy, I don't even look at anything. So, you know, I do take time off. But the kids, 24/7, like my son walks. I'm like, you're walking the dog. Please watch where you're going. You're not even looking where you are. You know, like texting, you know, like so fast. And he's like looking down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not safe.
Mm-mm. No, and that's why I keep on saying it's a war out there, because everybody thinks that it's normal to be on your phone, you know, like that's normal. And if there was, and you and I both know that there is God and there is a devil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if God created the world, he'd make sure that we would turn. Because God created the world, you know, I have to make sure I know who I'm talking to. Because
this show is whatever you believe in. We don't judge anyone.
Okay.
I believe in God. I
All
talk
right.
about how All right. God gets me through every day, and you can speak freely and openly.
Yes. And so, because God created the world, he wants us to sleep. He's created us to clean out our brain, to sleep 7 to 9 hours of sleep so that we can wake up refreshed and ready to do our assignment the next day. However, the mm-hmm. devil, and a lot of people don't believe in the devil. They think that it just comes out at Halloween, but there is a devil.
Mm-mm.
Some people can call
mm-hmm.
it the evil ruler. Some people can call it negative thinking. The devil is alive, and he wants people to think that he's not around, but he is around. And the devil
oh, yeah.
has created this new normal in the world, that it's normal to have your phone on all night. It's normal to be in front of the computer. It's normal to do anything to get you away from your sleep. Why? Because he knows if you sleep, you're dangerous. You're dangerous the next day. And so he'll do anything. So I always recommend people, you know, I always, when I do this talk on sleep, it's an hour-long talk about sleep and how to restore it. But your sleep is so important. And one of the biggest things is turn off your router at nighttime before you go to bed. Turn it off so that you are not a radio tower. And, you know, if you need to have your phone as an alarm, just put it on airplane mode.
Because
that increases the EM. Yeah,
oh.
just switch it over to airplane mode, and then your alarm will go off, you know? So
right.
that's just a big thing, and that's taken me a lot of work to get our sleep, because as a woman that's gone through menopause, that was huge. Because there's
I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't gotten there yet, and I've always been a person that's needed at least minimum 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. And if I don't get it,
mm-hmm.
I can't function.
Right.
And I don't know how my kids do it. I think my youngest right now is he's taken on so many things with school and activities and working, and I had to pick him up early today because his body was, and all the working out, his body was just is telling him, you know, you have to listen to your body. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your brain, your body. When your body, look to me, when my body says, Bailey, I don't think we should be going to the gym today, I will take that day off. I may do double classes the next day, but I will definitely take off that day. I may go for a walk at night to clear my head,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I take the day off. I finally learned after all these years, we got to listen to our body, because if we don't, all we're doing is damaging ourselves. Right? We're hurting ourselves.
And, you know, that's called self-care. And self-care,
yep.
I just posted this on my Instagram story. Self-care is not selfish. You know, learning to do that is very, very important. Hey, there's
self-care,
days when I don't, self-love. You know, I do 100
self-care,
squats Monday through Friday. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I work out and I do 100 squats. Well, there's a reason behind this, because I don't like doing them. But the reason is because I've been trained by Dr. Dale Bredesen, who wrote the book The End of Alzheimer's, to help reverse.
Okay.
Yes, even reverse early Alzheimer's, and to stop Alzheimer's from even occurring and preventing dementia. And what he's taught us is that one of the things is, if we've got good strength, like thigh strength, our brain strength. So my whole goal, of course, is to live to be 100 years strong, healthy, toned, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing my work that I'm supposed to, that I've been kept alive
mm-hmm.
to do. Because I don't want to end up in a nursing home all shriveled up, laying on one side, because I don't have strength in my legs. So I do 100 squats Monday through Friday, and I've even got my mom doing, well, I don't have her doing it, but she decided to do it. She's doing 30 squats a day because she wants to be able to get in and out of the bathtub. She's living independently. So for anybody out there,
incredible.
Please start, if your back can take it, do 100 squats 5 days a week. Now, there are days, Bailey, like today, when I've just been booked back to back with stuff, you know, as it happens to us. And I was like, I don't have time to do the squats. Well, I had an extra 5 minutes, and so I did the squats. So, but there are days when I just say, no, Isabel, you don't have to do your squats. And you know what?
Right.
I don't feel guilty.
No,
I don't feel guilty.
Also. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, I'm like, good on you, girl. You're loving yourself. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. There we are.
And sometimes I'll even put a...
He's got to get in
our bodies.
He's got to get in. He's only 17, and he just became obsessed with this working out stuff. And I, like, turned into my... I finally became healthy and all of that, and he took over my stuff, and it's like, it's so frustrating. Now, working out is amazing, but if you do your workout, we don't have to go to jiu-jitsu that night. If we're going to jiu-jitsu, we don't have to do the 100 and 200 ab crunches or whatever it is that he's doing. You're still going to keep your abs. And you can have a slice of pizza. It's not going to kill you because there's pizza sitting on the table. You can have one slice for your dinner because you didn't have much food today. You know, you didn't have much decent protein today, and pizza is not great. But once in a blue moon, it's okay. You know?
Yeah, you can have a treat.
And you can have a treat. I have my treat Friday night. That's my wine night, you know, my carb night. So I'll have my protein vegetables, you know. But it's all about a healthy balance. And it took me my entire life. I used to run.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I had car accidents that prevented me, made me slow down. So I had no choice. You know, I had to reframe my whole mindset and finally learn it's okay to eat 3 times a day. Even if you're not hungry, have a bite of something, you know. Don't have your biggest meal at night, you know, and just don't eat. I just ate when I was hungry. You don't have to go for
right.
a run at night. You know, let's
right.
bring Cordell back on, and I'm going to give out our number again.
Sure.
516-531-9643. 516-531-9643. We still have about a little less than 34 minutes left. We have an amazing guest on tonight. Feel free to call in, ask questions, or listen live on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk. And it'll also be on SoundCloud on the Never Give Up show. So anyway, welcome back, Cordell. Any questions about what we've been talking about?
No.
Anything to add?
It's very amazing. It's very amazing that you all were speaking about sleep. And Cordell doesn't get much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because I don't want to relive traumatic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced one a couple of months ago that's very traumatic. I share again Tuesday, but this is such a great show. Just the name of the podcast, Never Giving Up, Never Give Up.
Mm-hmm.
That is so empowering and inspiring, just that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we're connecting the dots. I'm glad that whatever energy is in the air, the right people are connecting at the right time.
Mm-hmm. I somehow always
yeah.
do that. Do you know that? I've always, like, brought people together in my life, like from different walks of life, since I'm a teenager. So I'm glad that I'm still doing that.
But, and this is good. This is good
yeah.
energy. This is good energy. This is good.
Yeah,
this is
good.
Promoting positivity, and that's all I really do. This is
and
what we're speaking about is well needed and necessary.
Yep.
Yes, it is. Cordell, I want to ask you a question. May I?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, because I used to be afraid to fall asleep too, because, you know, then I'd wake up and start worrying and freaking out and stuff. So what is it? Are you having a problem falling asleep or staying asleep? Do you wake up in the middle of the night wide awake, freaking out, or when is there a disruption in your sleep?
I'll share this because you asked. I'll share this. 2 months ago, a close friend of mine tried to kill me.
Okay.
And
all right.
That will make you hard to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And have you gone to the doctor to get some medicine to help you sleep?
No, I actually have two psychiatrists, psychologists that I meet with twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, to help me get through it.
It's not
okay.
such a terrible thing
but
to get, to get medication. It's not so bad. It's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'm on something that's addictive. Probably they should have never started me, but I take the proper dose, and I started taking it after my trauma, after I separated 6 years ago, after, like, my horrific incident where it all started, and my mind never shut off, but that I needed it. There was no way I was going to sleep and function and be a single mom and do all the things I had to do. There was no way. And
mm-hmm.
it's not, my personal opinion, some people can meditate. Some people could do all different kind of natural things. Anxiety is genetic in my family, for my kids, it's on both sides. But that's when my anxiety started. And I need to sleep. So to me, yeah. it's my, you know, there's different kinds of meds for everybody, you know, so.
Right, but God, I put a lot of stock into God. And that's the best medication you could ever take is a good dose of God.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Go on.
Hey, you know, like this morning, I woke up at about 4 o'clock this morning, and I remember, you know, I was starting to think, and I was like, oh God, I really want to go back to sleep. And I just started reciting verses, you know, like if you don't want to take supplements or nutraceuticals or medication, then, you know, just putting your mind on verses in the Bible that help
relieve
your mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also deal with, bouts of paranoia, because you have to keep in mind, if somebody I considered a friend and a brother tried to do that to me, then
it
I have trust issues too.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure,
I limit myself, and I limit myself because everybody is around you. Keep in mind, I did write a book, so everybody that's around you actually isn't for you. Does that make sense?
That's right.
Yeah, everybody that's around you they're not for you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm born and raised in New Orleans. I know that making the difference and being positive in this environment ain't the status quo thing to do. But also, I can recognize strangers. You know who strangers are, but the people you trust, family, friends, and, you know, people that you come in contact with, that's where the problem comes in at.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who you don't have your guard up for because you trust in them. But those are the ones that get the closer to you that will have the opportunity to do whatever they want to do to you.
And do you
have
a sense of discernment?
Yeah.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
I just said, do you have a sense of discernment? Like, can you feel when somebody's not good?
Yeah. I can.
Oh, okay.
I can. My spirit can tells me, but now I pick it up, but I also move different. I'm not as approachable as I used to be. I used to be approachable because everybody really in New Orleans and surrounding areas, everybody really knows about me. So when they actually see me, they approach me, but I'm not that approachable anymore.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself.
I just can't be. Yeah.
Right. And
so
in your home,
is your
bedroom safe?
Yeah.
Is your bedroom safe?
Yeah, I'm surrounded
by
balls.
So it's not like you're scared to go to sleep. Is it like you're scared to go to sleep?
No. Keep in mind, one part I left out the equation.
Okay.
do you remember I mentioned somebody tried to kill me, right?
Yes.
All right, it didn't work out that way. But somebody died. Mm-hmm. But y'all talking to me. So that should tell you all that.
So he's going through a lot of trauma right now. But that, you know...
Yeah,
getting some medication.
Yeah, but
I
wasn't arrested or anything. Yeah.
Right. But some medication, and Dr. Isabel, if you disagree with me, please feel free to say so. While you're going through this time, this really hard, difficult time, forget your past stuff, but current stuff. While you are dealing with that trauma right now and flashbacks or whatever. It's not the worst thing in the world to take something to help you sleep. Because sleep is so important.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. You could go to your doctor in America and ask them for some.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on any medication right now?
No.
No, okay. So
No, I'm not on anything.
Here's what I recommend, brother, because I want you to sleep. I want you to get healed so you can move past this, you know, is I would recommend going to your doctor and asking them for some amitriptyline, you know, just to help you get to sleep or stay asleep, or some trazodone. I mean, those are two simple things that you can use. They're not addictive, but at least you can be on it. And when it's time to come off, they can that very safely.
Mm-hmm.
So trazodone, and then and/or amitriptyline.
All right, amitriptyline and trazodone.
I think it's amitriptyline something that's been around forever.
Yes, amitriptyline or trazodone. It's not addictive. You're not gonna. You don't have to be on it for the rest of your life, but God needs you to sleep, hon, so that you're healed and ready to move forward.
Yeah.
Because the paranoia will get worse if you're not sleeping, and that was my paranoia. My paranoia after 17 nights of only sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night. My paranoia. I was psychotic. I heard voices of. You just kill yourself and be done, and it'll be all over. And so that's what I tried to do. So I just want to share with you, please consider going to the doctor, getting some either trazodone or amitriptyline, and start sleeping, and know that you don't need to be on that forever, okay?
Right.
Gotcha.
And then there's also
and
some
I appreciate
nutraceuticals,
that.
You know. And there's also some supplements that you can use too, like magnesium and stuff. But I mean, for quick treatment, those are the two biggies.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so sleep is like, I don't know. To me, it's just as important as exercise, eating right, even more so. I think it's one of the most important things because without it, you're not going to be able to do anything else. You're not going to be able to exercise. You're not going to eat right. You know.
No, you won't eat right. You won't eat right.
No.
You won't eat right.
And
what you'll do is when you're...
No, go on.
Yeah. I'm just like...
No, you go on.
You get me all riled up here, Bailey.
I'm sorry.
I know it's not a bad habit. I just get all passionate about this. When we don't sleep, because I've experienced this, when we don't sleep, then we start eating stupid food like carbohydrates and pasta and pizza and bread and ice cream and potato chips and all that stuff. So if you sleep right, then you can start eating right. You're more
chocolate.
And chocolate.
You know what?
That?
And I'd rather have my glass of wine than any of that stuff.
Yeah, but you know, if you're not sleeping good, you might have a second glass of wine. And what does wine do? It disrupts our sleep cycle. So
yeah,
I'm
when you
just
when you drink
you from my experience.
Right. No, you're right. It does. If I drink it too late, yeah, it does. You're right.
Oh yeah. I recommend everybody no food, no alcohol, no drink 3 hours before bed. And that's from the research, just so that your body knows, okay, I'm ready and heal all night long. I don't have to digest. I don't have to detoxify from alcohol. I can just sleep. So no food 3 hours before bed. I'm giving away. Yeah. Hey, we all do.
I have to work on that because sometimes – I'm not ready to eat my dinner till late. Like I haven't eaten dinner yet, and it's our time after 9 p.m. I mean, I probably won't go to bed till 12, but sometimes I just want to go for my walk first, you know. Or on Tuesday nights I do my show. There's no time to eat before, or I'm not hungry, so you know. That's something I have to work on because I feel much better when I eat earlier. I feel better the next morning.
Yeah. It's something to work on. We're looking. I'm not looking for perfection.
We're all
looking for progress.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Always work in progress.
Yeah.
And
it's not over until we've taken our last breath.
Yep, that's true. So you have your own personal chef cooking for you.
Yes, I do, but I do a mean cleanup.
Okay, what does that mean?
I clean up the kitchen very well. Oh. So he does the Michael does the cooking, and I do a great cleanup. So I'm like the dishwasher and sous chef and stuff.
Well,
so yes.
So tell our audience and tell Cordell what dinner is for you, or how about a typical day of meals for you? Because I don't know, like, you big is your biggest meal during the day or at night?
Okay, so I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have a cup of green tea and peppermint tea with a tablespoon of MCT oil, just because I'm into nutritional ketosis, which is just teaching your body to use fats for energy. So I'll drink that, and I'll go into my war room, which is where I read and just get inspiration and stuff from God. And then I'll come out, and then Michael and I will go for a walk, or if I've got to go to work or do stuff, then I'll start doing that. And then about 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll break my fast, and I'll have breakfast. And for breakfast, it's usually two eggs, some greens, olive oil, some olives, and some blueberries. That's just for breakfast. Or I make my homemade dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free granola, which is just a bunch of seeds. baked in some coconut oil and ghee. And then for lunch, I'll have a hard-boiled egg or two, and I'll have some greens, or I'll have some pesto that my husband makes on the eggs with some pesto and an egg. And then for dinner, I know you're going to laugh, but dinner for us is about 4:30, between 4:30 and 6:30, because I like to be in bed by 10:30.
Right.
Because research shows, Bailey, don't get mad at me, but research shows that if we can get to sleep by 10, get to sleep before, I know, okay. All right. Well, then I won't share.
Well,
the
I don't have to get up. I don't have to get up until 7:45, so a.m.
Yeah.
So if I go to bed 11:30, 12, I'm getting my sleep.
Right. That's true. So you're conquering it. You're crushing.
Sometimes my day just starts for something, like, you know, after coming back from the gym and taking my son to his treatments, or, you know, being a mom and running errands and this or that, or having my self-care time, my nails or, you know, my hair or, you know, which we know self-care is not just physical, it's also mental, or therapy, or I'm actually writing a book. So I have Zoom meetings with my writer, although she has COVID right now. So we didn't have a session this week yet. We do a 2-hour session. She's my ghostwriter, and you guys all meet her eventually. Yes. So I started with that, you know. So every day is something else, you know. Tuesdays I'm preparing for my show. It's like posting everywhere all day throughout the day.
Yes.
You know, so I'm going and going and going sometimes until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So. You know, it's hard for me, but go on. What do you eat for dinner?
For dinner, it's usually chicken or salmon or lamb or, that's pretty much it. And then some greens, and then I'll have some blueberries with some cinnamon or some goji berries, or I'll have a kiwi fruit or something, and then that's about it. That's a wrap for food. And then twice a week now, is my husband and I on the weekends, because we're in lockdown level 4. We just kind of hang out, and we'll have some wine and just take, you know, just talk. And
That's nice.
I know it sounds so boring, but it works for us.
You know what? I wish I had a companion.
I
had someone that I have trust issues also. It's very bad. But, you know, it would be nice to have a shoulder to cry on sometimes, or, you know, someone, you know, my kids are very loving, and, you know, usually my youngest is very loving when I'm angry at him. I don't want to be hugged when I'm angry at you. But, you know, I've learned to you know, what's the word? When we trade a trade-off, you know, I've learned to compensate, you know, for what I don't have. So, you know, we just...
Well,
but,
Sister
you know,
Maya Cardell doesn't have anyone either.
Yeah, well,
but
it's not easy. That's a
good thing at times because it gives you time to get in tune with yourself.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time last year. Last year I had two car accidents, one after another, right before COVID. I had all three of my kids home, all going through a really rough time. We all went through a dark depression. That was when I, in my entire life, even not even when I went through my hell, did I go to a dark place like that. Because I didn't have my outlet. I had my kids here all going through a dark place. Plus, I was dating someone on and off for 2 years, and that was a really, it was all at once. Everything hit me at once, and I was literally curled up in a ball. That's not me. Like, I had to go on antidepressants. Or I actually begged my doctor for antidepressants because I couldn't stop crying.
Right.
And I did a lot of reflection last year. A lot of self, you know, I was writing, I was, you know, did a lot of, I mean, I still had to be a mom and I still had to get up and do what I had to do. And then I'd go right back into bed. And that is so not me. Like my mom always says to me, you never stop. You're always running, going, coming, you know, but I'm like, well, I'm a single mom. What do you want? You want to help me out? Well, she does once in a while. So, you know, I also, towards the end of the year, when my body got healthy enough, I got back into my workouts and all of that, and that was great. And that's when I started changing my whole eating situation, cut the carbs. I did kind of the paleo diet, but I didn't. Like, I eat fish, I eat meat, I eat chicken. I eat a lot of soy products with a lot of protein in it, and vegetables like squash. I love avocado, and I started using avocado oil instead of the other oils like olive oil, which I still do, but because it's very expensive. So I have both in the house, and almond butter or cashew butter. Those are the things that they teach you to eat on the diet.
Right.
So, you know, I go through my phases with greens, like salads and stuff like that. I have eggs. So, you know, it's
what do you have for dessert?
That's how you get two things. So once in a while during the week, if I have that need to have some semi-dry, semi-sweet red wine, I'll have a little bit. My son got into these frozen muffins made with greens. There's greens in it.
Oh.
It has a lot of protein. Yeah, they're chocolate flavor. They have different flavors,
oh,
but the chocolate
yum.
One's really good. And I'll have one with like 80 calories, 100 calories. And I don't have that big of a sweet tooth. I used to. I don't anymore. When you change your whole mindset, you don't have that sweet tooth anymore.
That's right. That's right.
I'll add a little bit. So you heat it up in the microwave, and I'll add a little bit of the almond butter, the cashew butter. That's very filling. Like, he thinks he can eat that for a meal. It's not a meal. That's a snack, a dessert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we started taking, this year I got us all into, my doctor insisted on a lot of vitamin D, even though we live in Florida. She said everybody's sufficient.
Yeah.
We take 50,000 a week. We take 50,000 a week, a pill. I actually got vegan because I keep kosher, so I don't eat any of the fish or any of and eat. I mean, we eat salmon, but I don't eat like fish oils and stuff like that. So everything, all of our vitamins are all vegan.
Okay.
No gelatin or anything in it. So we take omega-3. It's a vegan pill.
Uh-huh.
I bought the kids recently a multivitamin. It's vegan, has everything in it.
Good. Good.
I take biotin, you know, the gummy, also vegan. Yeah, so mm-hmm. All these things help you. I drink a little coffee for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, and you drink
a little
what?
A little coffee for breakfast.
Of what? Oh, yeah,
coffee.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to say something about vitamin D. You know, vitamin D affects 900 genes
mm-hmm.
in our DNA. So mm-hmm. vitamin D is really huge. So I'm really,
mm-hmm.
you're with a very smart doctor if they've got you on vitamin
she is
D
amazing.
Supplementation.
You know what she, do you know what she said? She keeps
what?
Her patients alive 100 plus. She's
oh,
like,
yes.
Just lo-. She goes, I just lost a patient. She was 104 years old. I was like, wow, God bless her. I
yeah.
said, my parents have horrific, I have horrific genes. And thank God I don't have, because I work out so much and I take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
my blood work, except I had vitamin D deficiency this last time. But, you know, I said, keep my parents alive that long. I need them. But
yes.
she, yeah. She's amazing. She said every single person in this world is vitamin D deficient.
Yep, pretty much. I agree with her. I agree with
yeah.
her. It affects our skin. It affects depression.
Mm-hmm.
People that are
mm-hmm.
that are low in vitamin D, that's another area that I talk about, because vitamin D is a hormone. It's not a supplement. It's,
right.
I mean, we think of it as a vitamin, but it's a hormone. And vitamin
mm-hmm.
D affects depression. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've had patients where I've just supplemented their vitamin D and got them to the right level. To the optimal level, not just the normal level,
right.
but the optimal level.
Vitamin D and calcium.
And they, well, I'm very careful with calcium because calcium is not really promoted in women because it can calcify the inside lining of your arteries and increase your risk of stroke and heart attack. So we have to be careful with calcium. But vitamin
right.
D
so,
is really important. Yeah?
Right, now go on. Go on.
So vitamin D is so, so key. And everybody thinks that, oh, I'm in the sun all the time. Well, you actually
yeah.
need to be in the sun between 10 and 2 in the afternoon with no sunblock for 20 minutes. And your chest needs to be exposed and your hand, your palms need to be exposed. Like, who in the world has time to do that?
Not only that,
not too many people.
You're causing yourself to get skin cancer. So, I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, but 20 minutes, you're not
going to
get skin cancer.
Yeah,
yeah you're not going to get skin cancer in 20 minutes. But who in the world... But
well,
I agree, sunblock is very important.
Yeah.
Well,
as I get... I'm
the
aging,
way you get...
I'm much more careful with the sun. But go on, yeah.
Yes, me too. We want to stay looking hot, don't we, until our last
yeah.
breath.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it ain't going to be for a man, it's going to be for me. Right?
Yeah. 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 And I just wanted to say about, you know, you two, you will have somebody when the time is right. It's just.
Yeah, I'm too busy
sometimes,
right now.
Yeah. And, you know, just give yourself both time. The right person will come. Sometimes you just
yeah.
need to heal and get better and just
yeah.
heal
yeah.
and be with God.
Healing
like I thought, like husband and I, during the 7-year time that we've just gone through, we really didn't have that many friends. I mean, we had a great pastor, and I had one good friend that walked alongside me, and Michael had a good friend in the pastor. But it felt like God kept us in a cocoon, just him, me, and Michael, my husband, to just rely on him and learn from him and listen to him. And now that we're past that 7-year time, now new friends are coming into our lives. So sometimes you just need to be tight in that cocoon with God. And I don't know how long it is for everybody, but for us, it was like 7 years. I don't want to say that it's, I don't want to make it a law that it has to be 7 years for you guys, but I'm just saying,
no,
sometimes God just gets selfish.
I grew up,
God just says selfish.
I grew up my entire life with God. That's how I was raised, with the spirituality. You know, so many people that go through rough times blame God, you know, or blame their religion or whatever. And I know many people that do. And, you know, I was angry at God, you know, when my son got sick.
Yeah.
Or, you know, why did my kids need to go through this? They're babies. Punish me. Do whatever you want to me. And my rabbi actually said to me, you know, the fact that you get angry at God means you have so much faith in him, because otherwise you wouldn't get angry at him. So
I love that.
Really, I know. It was like shocking, because like you would think you're angry at God means you don't believe in him, but it's the opposite. And, you know, it just, you know, sometimes my connection is not as strong, but it's always there. It's how I was raised my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to instill it in my children. I always tell them, you know, just sit and talk, have a conversation with him. Sit on your bed, sit on the couch, sit outside. Just, you know, I encourage them, just, you don't have to even open up a prayer book and pray. Just talk to him like he's your father or whatever.
Yeah.
Have a conversation, open conversation, and you will see a change in your life. You will just see a big difference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very short time left. Cradell, did you want to say anything last second before we let you go?
That's the truth. God only desires a personal, intimate relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that relationship with God, every other relationship will be different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pleasure being a part of the show. I thank you.
Well, you can be
thank
a part
you.
Of every single one of my shows going forward, and I look forward to having you very soon as my guest. I don't like to spoil the surprises. I like to pop up with my guest the day of, but we'll be in touch very soon. And thank you for calling in, and thank you for all the all that you contributed to the show this evening, and I hope you get some sleep.
Oh,
yes.
I will. I promise you, I will.
Have a great night. Have a great night. Any final closing words, Dr. Isabel?
No, just Cordell, thank you so much for your input. It was lovely hearing from you. And
he's muted.
Just rock on. God.
Sorry.
Oh, okay, but
yeah.
He can hear me.
Yeah.
Just know, Cordell, that God's got good work for you in this world, and I know that you're gonna affect and positively impact and inspire millions of people with your book and your story. So just keep on. Don't ever. Yeah, I can't wait to hear his podcast with you.
Yeah.
Or actually,
it'll
be
on.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be,
it's a podcast.
It'll be on podcast. Never give up.
Same.
I love it.
Same time. So you can listen to it. You can call in.
Time.
I'll tag you in it, and I'll send you a link when he's on. I mean, that evening.
Great.
I mean, that day or whatever. Day before, whatever. So you'll be
and
able
before
to call
we go,
in
I just want to. Yeah. And before we go, can I just do a call to action real quick?
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
So you know, ladies, if you're suffering or dealing with anxiety and depression and you'd like to overcome it, how I did it and how you can too, you can just look into Facebook Bossy Brain Solution, and it's a private free Facebook group, and you can just go ahead and press join, answer a few questions, and that's where I'll be live a lot of the time, helping guide
What's
you
it
through
called?
All these
What's
areas.
It can you
the
spell
Bossy
it?
Brain, Bossy Brain Solution, B-O-S-S-Y, Bossy, B-O-S-S-Y, Brain, B-R-A-I-N, solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Join. Yes, I'm going to join.
Oh, yay. All right, cool. Thanks.
And I will send you the link in a little while to SoundCloud. It's easier sometimes to just click on it. You can re-listen to the show anytime.
Yes.
And I hope that you'll be on again as a caller and or listen. I try to have, you know, I've been very blessed in all my shows to have amazing guests. And I'm glad that we connected. You know, at first I wasn't sure it'd be a good fit, but you never know. You have to give everything a chance. So contributed so much to our show, to my show this evening, and to my listeners. And I'm sure there'll be so many people listening or are listening. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, and thank you to your husband for giving us to you for these 2 hours. And for your patience. And I hope we connect again, chat, you know, I'd love more feedback on the anxiety, depression stuff, because we only got through a couple of the things. I'm looking forward to staying in touch and being a friend.
Yes. I'd love to have you on our podcast, the MD and Chef team, to talk more about, you know, what you're doing, you know, your story to share with people and how you're helping your kids and stuff, because there's so much I can ask you about. And just thank you so much for sharing your heart. That's very brave and courageous of you, hon.
Thank you. Always send me a message or an email, whatever, and we'll get it worked out. Thank you again so much. Have a great rest of your day. And to my guests out there, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show tonight. Thank you, Marianne and Cordell, for calling in. Thank you, Joe Koch, for giving me the Blog Talk Radio time. And to Charlie, I'll always be indebted to you for being my co-host when you were and for helping me set up the show and giving me the confidence to do this myself. And to all my listeners, please never give up. There is hope. Whether you have faith or not, whether you believe in a higher power or not, there is hope. And there is life to live. We don't have to just exist. And I'm telling you this from my own personal experience. I'm starting to live my life and not just exist. So please keep going. Reach out to me anytime. And God bless you all. And again, never give up. Have a wonderful evening.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. Sight of blind adherence that has conquered some.